Long ago, when the pyramids were still young, Egyptian kings played a game of great and terrible power. But these shadow games erupted into a war that threatened to destroy the entire world, until a brave and powerful pharaoh locked the magic away, imprisoning it within the mystical Millennium Items. Now, 5,000 years later, a boy named Yugi unlocks the secret of the Millennium Puzzle. He is infused with ancient magical energies, for destiny has chosen him to defend the world from the return of the Shadow Games.
The past just is nothing but a look into the future. And so it doesn't matter that we forgot to take Yu-Gi-Oh notes.
I'm sure that's one way of looking at it.
I've walked into my own trap card.
You sure have.
Well, well, well. I was riding high for a minute there, wasn't I?
Yeah, sometimes you run the carnival of twisted delights, and sometimes the twisted delights twist you.
Sometimes they twist you, and that's a big thing I'm always saying. But speaking of a carnival of twisted delights, I'd like to welcome everyone back to the casino of normal delights. Ooh. Here on this week's episode of Ballin' Out Game Time.
Game time.
Ballin'
Out Game Time. The show that puts you in the, you have the joystick.
Oh shit, I'm in control. Fuck you, mom and dad.
Pick I like arrow sticks. Points.
Get in the like, game.
I prefer the arrow keys, but...
What's your favorite game to play? I'll start. I'm Alex, and I like the thrill of love.
What is that? Is that a thing?
It's a PvP or multiplayer online battle arena, depending on who you ask. Who else is here?
Wait, but actually, it's called the thrill of love. Actually, though,
it's called the thrill. It's, you know, finding someone and loving them so much and I touching their sweet body tonight.
Oh, that's crazy!
How love is a game of sorts.
How's Lawson doing? He doesn't recognize the concept of love at the moment. Things are going really well for him.
Fuck. Oh, well, no. I like Stardew Valley.
He's like, wait, that one at PAX this year. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, is that on Steam? Wait,
yeah, is that? Can I add that to my Steam wish list? Or
but many consider the sequel to Leisure Suit Larry. Who else is on the show today?
Not me.
I'm
spectating
on the show.
You introduce yourself. I'm having a sip of that brown.
Oh, hey, the party everybody.
Because GERD doesn't define you. Which, by the way, GERD unequivocally causes breathing problems, just so you know.
I know that. And it does not define me. Lawson is here.
Hey, everyone, I'm here. I like games, too.
I like games.
Yeah, I'm playing like too much Stardew Valley. I played it for like 7 hours.
Yeah, me too. I'm Kitty Rose Leon, and I am horrified for you to find out how many hours I've clocked on Stardew Valley. It is. I'm like, why can't life be like this, where you just survive on barter and you can date everyone in town?
Divorce him, marry him again. Yeah.
I always date everybody. I don't give a shit. You're going to be mad for me a week? What are you going to do? I'm the biggest play in town. I'm the only game around.
Exactly.
Do you get sick? Do you get sick in that game? Do you ever need to invent penicillin?
You go to sleep. You get tired. And then you like pass out in a mine.
It's a game for millennials. And then you don't go to the hospital. You just
and you
sleep
lose,
it off.
You lose your like algae suit, but then that's fine. You can just get it back.
Yeah.
What's an algae suit?
Soup.
Soup. Algae soup. I know what an algae soup is. Everyone does.
That you made so you don't pass out in the mine.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what that is. But hey, that's
the
whole game.
I love Stardew Valley because it's Alex's least favorite kind of game. Because you know what you do in that game, Alex? Nothing. You just fucking farm. And
I'm not interested in that.
You build stuff. And
I think
you
that
have
sucks.
You have interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
You pet a cow and it likes you. And then it makes better cheese.
I'm shaking my head. That's this not is all how correct. That works.
But here's the other thing. I also, as I'm doing all these types of games, I just fish too much. I just go out and I fish.
That's great.
I just
shaking my damn head. And then I catch better fish. What happened to this generation always catching a fish all the time?
But then, Alex, I get like the bait, and then when I get the bait, I catch the better fish. And then with the fish I sell, I can get like a better rod so I can catch more fish. So I can buy more crab pots to also catch fish while I'm not fishing.
Yeah, that's called passive income fishing.
Yeah, five head. Yeah, real five head strats. Because you can't farm during the winter. So during the winter, I'm fishing like a maniac out here. I'm just wilding. Yeah,
just fucking.
And also,
I'm trying
to get Haley. I'm making, not Haley. I'm getting Abigail. She eats rocks. But she's.
Yeah, she's like Abigail. Yeah, she's quartz. The goth one.
Yeah, she's a goth chick.
A Nintendo.
She also, she's a gamer goth chick. So that's. Yeah.
That's nuts, dude. That's freaking crazy. I'm sorry, I got distracted. There's something on fire next to me, and I had to make sure it's on purpose. But I record in a kitchen. Anyway, there is a fishing mini game in the hit new Riot game, the Ruined King, and I've started that.
My opinion is that any game worth playing has a fishing mini game in it. Yes. It doesn't have to be like a major focus of the game, but if there's not an opportunity for a fishing mini game, I feel like you're really missing out.
Agreed.
It really brings you back to the simple pleasure of putting a trap in the water made of steel and then dragging an unsuspecting creature out from its home by its mouth using a weapon.
Yeah. I mean, I like feeling smarter than dumb animals.
I like crabbing.
Yeah.
And then what if I could do it without leaving my house?
What?
Yeah.
It's never been done before. I was so betrayed when I found out that fishes can feel their mouth. Because I was told for years, like, I went fishing a bunch as a child, and they were like, you can go and you get the fish and you put like a berry on there or whatever, you'll get a fish. They don't mind coming out of the water. They can't feel it in their mouth.
Oh, that's so naive, Alex. What the fuck? How did you believe that in the first place?
And then I got a patch update on... Well, I was like 6 years old is how I believed it.
Even as a kid, I understood, like, you shoot gun at animal, that fucking hurts. Hook and mouth hurts.
You're more in touch with the world around you and the communal nature of spirits, Katie, whereas I was just a boy... looking for a song, and I was assured these fish and I were on good terms as I dragged them out of the water with steel in their face, and then I thought they'd, you know, maybe think fondly of me when I threw them back in.
You were actually saving them, Alex. They're trapped under the water there. Trapped, I tell you. And you were their hero, bringing them out into the surface.
Be more empathetic to this story you're telling if you then became vegan, but you just told me a long story about getting two extra chicken fingers for like kind of a long time.
They were tenders and they didn't have to do that for me. But the thing is, you pull them out of there and those fish don't, if you put them back, if you don't kill them afterwards, they're just severely wounded fish. And that's supposed to be like a good thing for them. Like if you put a hook through my head and then put me back later, I wouldn't be like, that's great. At least I wasn't killed. I would just complain about the hook thing for the rest of my life.
Yeah, which wouldn't probably not be very long as a predator would sneak up on you while you have a hole in your face.
Yeah, because they can smell it. Because they're undersea wolves. And so many fish are kinds of wolves in a way.
Metaphorically.
Because they hunt in packs. Yeah. And they eat other fish.
Yeah. Especially the wolf fish. That's the most literal fish, yeah.
Is there a wolf fish?
No, but also,
I don't know. I'm sure there's a fish that's referred to as the wolffish.
There's the Atlantic wolffish. Oh my god, this thing's crazy. What the fuck?
Hey, hold on. Hold on one sec. I need to.
The teeth are so sharp, and there's so many of them. This is the worst thing I have ever seen.
What the fuck is this thing?
It's huge.
All right, I too will Google wolffish.
What is this shit?
Well, I guess this one's an example of a particularly large wolf fish, but imagine being underwater
and like,
oh my god,
you see this fucking thing coming at you.
It's like something you pull out of during like a very special day on Animal Crossing, and you're like,
do you see the image of the Fukushima mutant wolf fish?
Yes.
That's like 6 feet wide. Godzilla could happen.
Yeah.
Oh, and definitely.
It will it's happen. Happening.
That's the scariest thing about Godzilla is it's like not that crazy.
It's not that crazy. And it's probably what's next.
I would say it's inevitable.
Yeah. Honestly, we're all on the same page now. And I don't think that makes us pessimists. I think that makes us realists.
Yeah. No.
But by the time we have Godzilla, when we have like mechs and shit that we have to bond to a guy we just met to control.
Well, maybe, yeah, but it's going to be new and emerging technology, and it will be really hard for us to adjust to that. I mean, when you play God, you get Godzilla, and that's the concept of Godzilla. That's the pitch room.
It's just so sad because teens spend so much time on their phone these days with the TikToks. How are we going to have moody, horny, suicidal teens to drive these robots to fight Godzilla?
Wait, how are you going to get off Etsy and battle this kaiju, huh?
Will these Zoomers get off TikTok and get in their emotional trauma bond?
Fucking robot.
Max. Everyone's on Tumblr.com and their hair's pink. And I remember World War II when this country was invaded. I'm English now.
Oh, okay, in that case, I won't correct you. I retract my correction.
Yeah, thank we're known for our accuracy on this show. That's like first and foremost, we're about the facts.
That's true. We're always about the facts. I have more game thoughts, but I especially have more Beastars thoughts because I watched the second season of Beastars this weekend.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
And they have outdone themselves. I'll say that.
They're still horny, still doing vor.
I'll tell you this, a bear is involved.
Great.
Okay.
Big part of the bear plot, it has to take anti-steroids in the form of honey in order to be part of animal society. Because otherwise,
frankly, it's
too large.
Now, is the bear plot like just another way of calling it the B plot? Does the bear plot have to be the B plot?
I wish I could say yes, Lawson, but it is the A plot. Aw,
damn.
It is the main plot. There's no way it is a B plot.
I have nothing to contribute to this Beastars conversation, but as someone who's depressed and doesn't have a job, what games should I be playing?
PlayStation's free game of the month, if you got the online thing, they give you Deep Rock Galactic, where you're a space dwarf and you be mining in space.
All right.
I played the tutorial.
I love industry.
Yeah, me too. I love being out there in the scene, you know, as long as I'm in my house and not actually taking the train or anything. The trains in this city, they're out of control. And Mayor Eric Adams is going to change that. But I was playing the tutorial and I was thinking to myself as I did it, like, if I had some friends doing this, this could be a good one. But I'm not going to play it single player because dwarves are social creatures and they don't operate alone like that.
I mean, I was just saying I've been playing a ton of Stardew, which Katie's apparently very played a lot.
I'm an incredibly versed. Yeah. And it is a great I'm so sad game because you're just like,
it is.
Oh, I can make my perfect life here. So my little farm, just me.
So I was actually going through Steam looking for other games kind of like Stardew and such, and I found this game called Starbound, which is, it's kind of more like Terraria, I guess. But it's like you build and craft stuff, but you can also go into space. And then going to a new world and then building craft there. And all the planets are procedurally generated. I haven't actually started playing it yet, so I don't know if I can like recommend it. But
I tried to find a Stardew-like game. The only thing I could find is one where you manage a graveyard and you just dig graves.
Yes, Graveyard Keeper. Yeah, I got that too.
Aesthetically, damn. That does not seem the same to me.
I was like really on the nose.
I think it's I mean, it's like it's a gag game. I think it's like supposed to be. You're a bad guy. I think you're a bad guy in the game.
You want me to dig up Drake's money? Is that what you want?
No, Alex, come on.
Because it's in the grave.
Get a different song.
No.
Cradle to the Grave? Is that?
No, he has a song. It's called Money in the Grave. And it's when he dies, his money is put in a grave. And I've spoken enough about it. And what if the Beatles sang it and so forth. But.
Are you also upset by this concept? Like the idea that you would put your money
in a grave? It's a waste of money for one. Anyway. Yeah,
it's upsetting.
My wife is talking to me. I'm yelling again. Listen.
You are.
I mean, listen. You are. Yeah, you are.
Money belongs in the bank. It doesn't go underground.
It belongs in a briefcase.
It's
the top
a crime.
Of
it's a crime to do it, for one. And I don't think that's funny to break the law. Have you ever played No Man's Sky?
No.
I've heard of that game. Which one is that again?
It's probably like $10 now. So it was released in like, I think 2015 or 16 as this super ambitious PS4 title where you travel through like a whole galaxy that is actually like as vast as the universe or whatever, and you never run into anybody, and you go on all these different planets and mine materials and build stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the goal?
There isn't one. It's like a Stardew Valley thing.
I also play real games. I don't like quick time events though. I just want to like hit things with a sword.
Why don't you like quick time events? Quick time events
fucking
are fun.
Stupid.
What did Kratos do to you?
Like, what didn't he do to me, bro?
I was close friends with Poseidon.
Oh my god, there's a guy on the dating apps that is in the area that his first picture is him dressed up as Kratos, and it makes me laugh every fucking time he comes up.
Is it
you
Stu
gotta wonder
Grayson?
If that works.
I gotta go through my pictures. I'm sure I have a screen cap in my phone.
There's gotta be one person who's like, none of these boys are for me. Oh, wait.
Hold on. Oh. What I've been missing my whole life.
And then you chat with him and he's like, I'm looking after my boy.
He's got God of War level back muscles.
I guess, you know, if you're like a short, bald man, you gotta make it work for you somehow.
Kratos has a great beard.
Kratos is definitely not short either.
Yeah, he is. He's Greek.
Oh. But he like looks big in the games.
And you can say that in 2022. You can say that.
You can say
it's not a big deal to say Greeks are short. They love it. It's a different culture because it's in the past. And the last God of War game, he goes to freaking the North, the hardy North, and fights all the Norse gods. And he should be like half their size because they're famously tall and he's famously short.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I'm tired of video games perpetuating tall hero stereotypes. You know, let a short man be a hero. Can we have some short heroes out here?
Can we have some fucking short heroes for once?
Lawson, what we're saying is you have Kratos. What else do you want?
He's not short in the games, though. We just said it.
Did you actually look it up, though? Because I don't believe that's true.
Kratos is like 6'4", okay? And we all know Kratos is 6'4".
6'4"?
I don't know.
That can't be correct. You're projecting now. You're upset with Kratos and you're projecting at him.
Well, yeah, you know what? I was good friends with Zeus.
Yeah, good friend. If you were good friends with any god, I could understand.
I was tight with Hermes. Hermes is like my delivery man. And
I'm sorry for what he did to Hermes, which is probably an elaborate quick time event where he chops his head off and then puts his dick in the hole. And
he was.
His spear comes out the other side. And
he said, look, these are my shoes now, bitch. And then he cuts his ankles off and dangles them off a ledge.
He doesn't have a lot of witty lines. He just does a lot of like, gaw!
I mean, he's the war.
Okay, yeah, right. This is a bunch of bullshit. Early scripts listed him as 6'6" tall.
I told you, bro. I told you. I told you, man.
Recently, studio devs say that Kratos is 7'6" tall.
Okay, well, that's even. Come on now. Let's not. This is. I don't hear what type of god magic
why is he
has.
Tall?
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. We need more hero shit like Tomohiro Ishii or.
Oh, my God. I love that potato, man. Exactly. What a fucking freak.
Yeah.
Necklace.
Like, a neck, a man like as wide as he is tall without a neck.
He's like an eighth of the size of all the creatures he faces. Why can't he just be 5'4"?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, what difference does it make at that point if you're fighting a mountain? Well, that upset me to find out, but sorry. I bet his son's going to be pretty tall, too.
Yeah, he's got the genes.
Good for him.
He's got great genes. He's actually the son of Kratos.
He's a
celebrity fact. That's one of those things where like Kratos' son gets in, he's like a staff writer for SNL, and you're like, how did that
he's happen?
Kratos' son?
Oh,
must have
man.
Been really easy.
Wow.
This is Lorne. We're old friends.
They say this.
I once killed an intern for him. Can't remember his name.
Hey, I don't, we have to cut your set down because Kratos' son's gonna go long. Okay. Just
he doesn't have a lot of jokes, but he has a lot of big act outs. Quick time events where he hits square and
square do great in New York, but you know, he is Kratos' son, so
I'm visiting from LA. I have really good credits.
Did I get a check spot?
Is anyone else here friends with Will Ferrell? I am.
Kratos' son, the LA comic. Favorite fucking character.
It's hard being 23. I'm getting older.
And then the glass falls off the table and you have to hit an X.
X.
Destroy heckler.
And then he goes up to the one female comic and asks if she wants to go right in his hot spring later.
You know, I have a quick time event in my hot spring. I'd like to check it out. Well, this has been a lot of fun for me. Well, before we get to Yu-Gi-Oh, which I think we're all excited to go over all of the details of.
Mm-hmm, the well-documented details of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Hundo P.
I hate to tell you guys, for half of it I was watching a video of a Vietnamese lady extract blackheads from someone's face.
Katie.
Wait, extract what now? What
the blackheads.
It's...
Oh, I thought you said black kids.
Oh my god.
That's why I was like, what?
It's very different, Lawson.
By She's the way, I've been meaning to tell you, kids. I was watching a video of a Vietnamese lady extracting black kids from a man's face. I have no idea what happened.
Well, what she
the
said,
most incredible thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Once she said black, once I heard black kids, I didn't listen to the rest of the sentence. I was just like, wait, what?
I'm just taking a really, you know, I'm taking an edgy turn. I think I could really be like the Joe Rogan of this podcast. You know, I've gotten really into putting like weird powders in my body, and I just want to ask the questions nobody are asking.
Katie, if you're joking around, I understand, but if you're not, I'm ready to make a lot of money very quickly. So let's have a meeting about that, perhaps. And what kind of guests we'll be having on soon.
Oh, yeah. Everyone from the We Got Canceled Comedy Festival, or whatever the fuck that thing is that I saw on the internet.
Yeah, I actually know Kratos' son, so I don't know if we want to reach out to him.
Get him on next.
You know, it's like he's willing to come on, and I'm just give it up for him, you know?
Let's bring up Kratos' son and ask him if he thinks women are funny.
Yeah.
Ask him if he thinks women can fight.
I just think they're so beautiful.
Okay, Chris.
Oh,
all
God.
Right.
I
all
mean,
right, pal.
Damn.
All right. Okay. All right. All right, kid. All right.
You ever done a doob? Have you ever done a doob?
I mean,
with
Kronos,
the god of time.
You're just gonna let that name lay there. Huh?
I've never felt more free since Instagram's gotten rid of the ability to see what your friends like.
This is all to say we're moving on to Card Shark Tank, and the Shark Tank music's playing. That's right, Card Shark Tank, the segment where it's like Shark Tank, but for a game, and me and Lawson have a lot of money, and it's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
There, I could complain, you know, and Katie's going to be pitching her game this week, and just as a reminder, we are in the chairs from The Voice that spin around when you win.
I mean, right. Money's nice, but the spinning chairs are really why I'm here. Really,
you do it for the chairs.
The chairs are so fun. The chairs.
Also, canon update, I'm the CEO of Tencent. Yes, continue.
Kids, they're always on their phones, and that's why phone games and the microtransaction market is so huge. But also, yeah, what kids have or don't have, and that's a dad. Or they have a dad and he really fucking sucks. And that's when Dad Tracker comes into play. Dad Tracker dad is a tracker, time management game where you get to manage and raise your own dad in the hand of your own phone. And then when he comes to fruition, you can decide to keep your dad or to launch him into space for a low transaction of $2.99 a space launch.
Now, Katie, I'm looking at your printout here, and the part of this that's really resonating to me is kids are always on their phones.
Always. They're always on their fucking phones, and they don't appreciate anything else but their phones.
They're always sending an emoji.
They're always standing outside of Hype House, ignoring their real dads to play with Dad Tracker, waiting to get on Hype House.
Yeah. Well,
I guess my first question as a gaming enthusiast and mogul is, what kind of dads can we look forward to seeing in your title?
So there's several kinds of dads. You know, there's classes and there's types. So you can have, you know, a yelling type dad with breaking already fixed things typed abilities, or vanishing dad with calling at inopportune holidays abilities. There's all sorts of dads. You can get them accoutrement. You can get them swords or a phone cord that has been misappropriated, or, you know, a slipper. There's an items shop. There's all sorts of things. You can bring your dad to the dad arena where they just stand around and don't look at you.
Oh, I'm interested in the dad arena for sure.
Yeah, so that's the plan. Is after the initial launch of Dad Tracker, after people just get addicted to the time management strategies, then we introduce the battle arena 6 months later to really up the online interaction. Once again, ka-ching, because you're going to have special dad tokens to get into the arena.
I'm hearing that ka-ching. And the thing about the dad tokens is they give you $5 and they say, don't come back looking for more because this is it.
Yeah, but there's more.
You know how dads do at an arcade? Yeah, but there's more because it's only been 5 minutes or whatever.
Are we expanding? Like, can we make our dads like... Is it all just like bad dads? Can we make them like proud of us? Is
you
it like a
can
quest?
Take your dad on any dads? Journey that you want to do. There is a alignment meter depending on, you know, you have an allotted amount of actions you can take every day, and depending on the actions you take with your dad on Dad Tracker changes your fatherly alignment.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So you don't have to Chris Benoit build. You can go into a radiant dad.
Yeah.
You know, it turns out that just having bad dads was a little too realistic for most people. So we wanted to give a fantasy option for the softer sex.
I mean, I like a game that has something for everyone.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Are there Chinese dads in this one also?
There are Chinese dads.
Is there an expansion with Chinese dads?
I spin my chair around.
Lawson. I mean, it's a hell of a pitch. This is one of the only business pitches we've received here on Card Shark Tank. Because usually it's just like, I think there should be squid billies. Oh, there already is. Oh, damn. That sounds really good. My one suggestion, and I know Clausen's already bought your company, and I wish you two the best of luck and a lot of cash that comes with it. But maybe you don't start with the Chinese dads and you build out to them so they're an exciting expansion. Release 6 months down the line.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we intend to, we have a 5-year build out plan to include all dads of ethnicities and personality types. So everyone will have to want to use Dad Tracker, and we're going to use a social media element to really keep the kids in line. Every Zuma is going to be like, what's your dad on Dad Tracker?
Yeah.
What's Pokemon Go to Dad Tracker?
Yeah.
As the owner of Tencent, I will be producing and buying the rights to a competing game of building uncles that comes out 6 weeks before your game with dashed costs and production around every corner just to get that out in time. But I wish you both the best of luck.
I look forward to being crushed by your giant hand.
This is why I'm the millionaire
dog bowl for the rest of your life.
This is why I'm the millionaire investor near the billionaire investor house. And I respect you for it. And I bow down to you because you are clearly
all
my backer.
I ask is to be spared from the gulag and to have a slightly shinier dog bowl than most.
No eye contact.
Arf arf.
Arf arf. Well, that's this week's Card Shark Tank. Another Shark Tank of an idea. Thanks, Card Shark Tank. I'm swimming around in it. Awooka. I was stuck on sharks, but yeah, also dogs.
I'm in scuba gear.
Watch
don't
out.
Be in Scooby gear. There's sharks in the tank.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
For some reason in my mind, I just heard sharks in the tank. Sharks
in the tank. Sharks in the tank.
A hundred motherfuckers fun games ain't nothing. I say sharks in the tank.
Sharks in the tank.
I'm going to put the Yu-Gi-Oh song in here.
I'm the new person at the podcast. I just love that Alex talks to future himself. Where he has to put all the drops.
They're important notes to have because otherwise it's pretty confusing where everything goes, and it really helps if I tell me later.
I appreciate it though. Yeah,
it's like getting to see Memento in person, you know.
Yeah. Love Memento. I can't
love
get enough
it.
Of it.
I love film.
Mm-hmm. And let me just double down on the
what
things
a film.
I said last
I'm
week.
Not like
I love
other
Jared
girls.
Leto.
I love film. I don't like Jared Leto. I like film. I like Criterion. Okay.
Yeah. The collection?
Yeah.
The whole
is
collection?
Is it in black and white? I love it. I love film.
Oh, man. Let's go watch Seven Samurai.
Oh, my God. It's my favorite movie. I watch it every day. All 12 hours of it.
All 12 hours of
it. Now, see, it's a new year. Maybe we could consider some of the ways you're using your time. Are you watching Seven Samurai every day?
Yeah, that's why I lost my job. I'm like, I am fully committed to this company except for the 12 hours a day that I'm watching Seven Samurai and then the other seven where I'm asleep.
Right. I'm off to go find those samurai in my dreams, folks.
Seven again, damn it. I always think it'll be different, but there's always seven of them.
They only need seven.
Yeah.
It's not a lot if you think about it. There's way more bandits.
So I tried to do Rashima for a while, but it just wasn't the same without those samurai, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so true.
Time has not been kind, Rashomon, the same way.
Yeah, take that, Rashomon.
Sorry, Rashomon.
Classic film, get shit on.
Yeah, get fucking bent.
You're not welcome here.
You don't have enough samurai, Rashomon.
There's what, three in the whole thing?
Yeah.
God, that's
not even,
even
half
seven.
As many. Not even half as many as seven.
Yeah. Who was on your marketing team, Rashomon? Don't
it's
you know?
Embarrassing is what it is.
You should be fucking
people want
ashamed.
To see samurai.
Fuck you.
This week's what? Episode of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh, right, yeah.
That no one took notes for, and I openly admitted to watching, like, a skincare video
Well, the thing is, at this point of Yu-Gi-Oh, my mind is a steel trap, and I'm retaining every twist and turn along the way of our exciting card journeys. And I gotta say, it's a hell of an episode.
There is a lot of gaming elements.
Yeah.
They save and a lot of money very... with repeating animations. That's
and
what
a very long shot of a drawing of Gorgonzola cheese.
The first thing you need to know about this episode, it is a part two of three, or even possibly four. Because
what is
last
the title
week,
of this episode?
Oh, all right. I don't have the title up. Hold on.
Come on.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode titles. Oh, I thought maybe people weren't interested anymore.
It's called Double Trouble Duel Part 2.
Right, with last one being Double Trouble Part 1. Yeah. And what are the name of those twins again?
I don't know.
Paradox.
Para and Dox. That's
you
what
face
it is.
The brothers. Paradox.
Para and
like
Dox.
Really low tier Wu-Tang Clan members. They're like, oh, we can only get Inspect Your Deck and Paradox.
That's the problem with a franchise. But the thing about Para and Dox is they're both ninjas who have very cancelable accents. Well, one of them does, and the other one does like a Batman kind of thing that I think is very funny.
They kind of lose accents this episode, and they kind of just sound like you doing a funny voice, Alex. Like the high pitched one definitely sounds like Alex doing.
Let me just say, I could do the voice. if push comes to shove.
If like in a month, Alex pulls off his mask and is like, it turns out I voice every episode, every character in Yu-Gi-Oh! I'd be like, I believe that.
I wanted to restart my career. I say, can I do it again? Can I get to the top and voice Dox again?
He just had to know. He had to know if he could.
I had to know. And the answer is no. I couldn't. I didn't get even close.
So the questionable twins, Para and Dox, used to talk and rhyme, and then they also give up on that halfway through this episode.
Yeah,
like,
they also don't really complete each other's sentences very much. Sometimes they say things at the same times, but they're both ninjas. They have different kanji on their heads, and they do this move where when they're excited, they backflip like 100 times in a row next to each other, and then they land... Like foot, it's a shot of a foot and then a shot of a foot and then them both posing. And they do that three times.
It's the recycled
animation.
There's a
lot of, repeat animation.
And that's how you get, that's how you make a show that makes a Yu-Gi-Oh amount of money.
But
might
I will say this, my favorite kind of battle system in video games is I love a tactical battle system where you place all your little guys on the grid and then you move them around and they do their stuff and you're like, this one has a distance attack and this one whatever. And this episode reminds me a lot of sucking dick at those games.
Yeah.
like where there's a bottleneck and all your dudes get stuck in one corner and then you have to restart your Game Boy so the save file doesn't auto save and put you in that bottleneck forever.
Yeah,
it's very touch and go with the way this game works. If you don't remember last week, Para and Dox, their main move is they turn Yu-Gi-Oh! The card game into like a Final Fantasy Tactics board game where they make up the rules and have the only good cards for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this episode, big exciting update, the way you play that game is there's like an iPad they give you where you drag your fingers and it moves your cards around, and I don't remember them getting it, but they all got one, and it's pretty cool.
Well, that would make sense, because it's all holograms, so how the fuck are they supposed to see the board and, like, tell what direction to move their pieces?
They never ask, like, wait, how do I move them? They're just like, oh, of course, the iPad.
There's also a whole part of this we're overlooking, which is Pegasus, who's entrapped thousands of children on this island just because he's annoyed at Yu-Gi-Oh! For like winning a game when he wasn't there once or something, has also kidnapped a child that he has locked up in a dungeon that he watches on TV. And he's mildly annoyed to find out that somebody has come for him.
Yeah. Somebody has.
And so it's Saito Kaiba's little brother,
Mokuba.
And they do Saito Kaiba backstory, which makes no fucking sense because they always imply that the Kaiba fortune and business was a family business. But then in this, they're like, actually, they're orphans.
They're orphans. It's an orphan business. By orphans, yeah. For orphans.
I guess they were adopted by the rich Kaiba family. Because, okay, also the
so parents... So it's like a Daddy Warbucks situation.
Right, but also in this flashback where, like, Seto won't let himself be adopted unless they also take Mokuba. It makes me think, is this like a thing? Like, are people just adopting older kids and leaving their little...
No, it's the opposite. Everything you always hear is about little kids are the only ones that get adopted and their older siblings get left in foster care. So, like, right. In what world is someone's like, I want the older maladjusted genius over the adorable little baby?
Well, I'll tell you what world. The genius world of dueling. Because Kaiba's intellect is second to none, and he's even good at beating his brother in chess.
Also, he beats a guy up who's twice as... My favorite thing about Kaiba is that, like, he's also a badass. Like, he can fight,
well, too. Yeah, so there's the flashback of them being orphans, and he's like, I'm coming for you, Mokuba. I always said I would come for you, just like I did in Orphanage. And then old Pointy Head, who we last met because he gets off on putting children into rowboats and screaming at them.
Yeah, he has a Blink-182 gelled flip-up haircut, which was very fashionable at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And anyway, a child beats him up in the woods.
Yep.
Which is pretty sick, because Kaiba really, he gives him like a 1-2 to the tum. And
well, and the exchange, I believe, is he's like, you're not going anywhere without me. And he's like, actually, I'm taking you. And he's like, get me into the castle, bitch. And he kind of beats him up, but Kaiba doesn't have like a gun or a knife. Like, this guy could just walk away.
He's very authoritative.
He does not even tie his hands together.
Yeah, like, you know, the thing, could just go, you know?
Because of all the other scenes they've had where they edited a gun out, we actually can't trust that there's not a gun in any scene of this show.
That's fair.
All of the scenes could have a gun.
Yeah.
You'd never know.
Kaiba would be packing too, if anyone in the show. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not afraid to kill. And here's the thing, is they also save a lot of money with all of Kaiba's story this episode, because they showed us most of that stuff last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's true.
So it is, again, like, the budget is doubling from this episode, and you love to see it.
Mokuba's still in that cell.
Mokuba's still in the cell, spending his entire time just wondering where his brother is. Which is like, God damn, we get it.
Edited on the hope of the weekend, like amnesia that happens to little kids when they're watching these as they come out. That, like, by the time you see the new Yu-Gi-Oh episode, it's been a week, and, like, you're like, yeah, you don't remember that you saw this already.
I have no idea what happened. Jesus Christ. What are you going to be? You're going to be able to tell we used these ninja flip animations last week? You're 5 years old. I'll see you in court. Kaiba kidnaps an adult and takes him into the dungeon. And that's pretty exciting. We'll be cutting back and forth to that. The rest of the episode, Para and Dox are fighting Yugi and Joey, who is...
Sorry, what the fuck did you just say?
His name is Joey. And he could be any faith. He's Italian. We know he's Italian.
What the fuck?
He's a pizza bagel.
I guarantee Alex was saying the word Joey and thinking Wheeler, and that's what happened.
That's what it is.
And then that's what happened.
I guarantee it.
You're going to like the way I don't say Jewy. I guarantee it. But here's the thing, is they're winning this card game board game duel as of last episode, because Para had put one of his... So they make a maze out of a card that turns the card game into a board game with a maze. And then he fuses one of his cards to the walls so that it can travel outside of the grid, breaking the game they invented. And then... They used a trap card to defeat that very monster. And so this episode... Things are looking pretty good. Yeah. Everything's up on the up and up for this. And so they're walking through the maze, and they get four monsters together. And there's a whole back and forth about, like, four monsters.
Now, that's a lot of monsters.
No, there's a lot of monsters.
Celtic Guardian.
That's a lot of monsters, Yug.
flame swordsmen, and then Yugi. Yeah, when Yugi summons the real alpha of this group, which is the Dark Magician,
who's so powerful it can hop to the front of the group even from the back of the board, which is like, wait, that's a powerful magician.
Why is Yugi always playing Dark Magician? He can't do shit.
What do you mean? Magician does so much cool shit this episode.
But it's because he had other stuff. It's like, oh, put him in a box or.
But could you use that stuff without a magician?
Exactly.
Is it right to play magical hats without magician?
Hey, he has.
I don't understand the rules of this game.
They well, seem Katie, like they changed.
That makes one of us.
One. Yeah,
that makes one of us, Katie. He's got dark magic. That's all you need to know.
He's and got 25- dark magic. So the docs, I guess, played a trap bug, like a nasty spider who lives in the board.
Yeah.
Last episode, and one of Joey's guys, well, wouldn't you know it, walks right onto that bug.
Man, Jirai Gomo attacks.
Jirai Gomo. Unfortunately, Dragomo. Well, he eats that guy with his nasty spider mouth, and R.I.P. to him. Is that Celtic Guardian?
No, he eats the Ox Raider.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Ox Raider, auld lang syne to you, my friend. I'll see you next year.
Mm-hmm.
But now that the spider Jirai Gomo has done that, he has been exposed from the board, and. This episode, I feel like even more than the other episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh, the turns are very whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, because there's four players, so they're going like weird crisscrossy. So I don't know what to. I don't know if they kept the correct turn order. Like, I have no idea.
But now that Jirai Gomo's out,
So a couple things happen. So basically. After Dragomo attacks, one of the racist twins plays like a card face down, and then Joey goes like, "Aren't you going to tell us what it is?" It's like, "No, Joey, that's what defense mode means."
Yeah, that's the
we
point.
Tell you every time not to do that, and you keep doing it.
You don't have to say who it is in defense mode. That's not the fuck you talking about.
It ruins the whole point of it of doing that when you tell us.
Yeah, then this is when the magician box gets summoned. This card was OP as fuck.
Yeah, okay, wait. One thing I forgot to mention before the magician box, and I could not believe it. The first thing Para and Docs do after their guy gets killed last episode is all the monsters are bunched up together, and then they change the maze to split them in half, which is really cool.
Yeah, and then actually, Taya had my favorite line of the episode, which was, so that how they changed the maze, and Taya goes like, and that changes the whole game. And I was just like, Taya, how the fuck do you know? You don't play this
no
game.
One knows what they're making the game up.
But also, like, Taya, what
Taya
are you
know
doing
how to play
here?
Any game.
Yeah, Taya, what are you talking about?
Taya should be at a different island for a different hobby she likes.
Yeah,
she
she's like in competitive, like, fucking knitting or some shit. Like,
yeah,
she's like a dancer,
girl
I think.
Shit.
There's some like in-between season thing where like Yugi takes her dancing, I think.
Really?
Well, it's Yami. I think it's like she asks like Yugi on a date, but then like he's too nervous, so Yami takes her on a date. And then
I don't like
dancing.
That.
What a
I don't
bitch.
Like that at all.
Real weird. It's real weird, man. Anyway.
Could your Pharaoh take me on a date?
He's 2,000 years old.
It's not,
you know,
weird.
What?
He just seems like he has a lot of experience, if you know what I'm saying.
I think I'd rather go on a date with Yami than Yugi.
We all
like,
would.
I mean, Yugi's like 6 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
5,000 years of finger-blasting experience.
There's really no Goldilocks in the situation. It's like an ancient pharaoh or like a six-year-old boy.
Why do you think I bought these gloves?
Ew.
It's okay. He's a pharaoh. Anyway, that didn't happen. What did happen? So this Jirai Gomo is sitting there with the hubris of a fool, and Yugi has no choice but to play a magician's box that appears before it and also appears over the dark magician at the same time.
Yes.
Two different boxes, and then he yells, "The air fills with swords," and the swords all go into one box. that the Dark Magician's in, but then by magic, it actually killed Jirai Gummo, and then Dark Magician teleported, which is like, this is the best card I've ever seen.
Yeah, what? This card, what the fuck?
It's How so have you broken. Haven't been doing this one every game? This is amazing.
The other thing is, so when the Jirai Gummo appears in the other box, it's the actual card. It's not even like the monster animation.
Yeah, it's the very card. There's swords.
And the card has swords in it. Like the swords are piercing through the cardboard. Like, yeah.
It's a little confusing, but also it's pretty weird. Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to Jirai Gummo fans.
He was with us. Was with us two shorts.
Yeah. Cut back to Para and Docs. They play another card face down, but they let us know that they have played Suijin and Raijin. And those are the guardians of water and lightning. And if they play the guardian of the wind, that will be all three of the guardians, which are being summoned in Chinese caskets, covered in chains at the end of the level. And it becomes like an Exodia monster that it's so big. Oh no,
so
it's
big.
So big. It's and all they have to do is draw Kazajin, which is like, good thing you have another 80 cards in your deck. There's no way you're going to find Kazajin.
Why does the heart of the cards also work for the bad guys in this show?
I don't know. Their luck is so crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it turns out heart of the cards is not like anyone could do it. You don't have to be pure of heart. You just gotta believe.
No. You just gotta believe.
It's a Parappa situation.
In many ways, it's a Parappa situation. And so that's very exciting for all of us here at the show. I hope they don't find Kazajin. And they also flip around a bunch for no reason again.
Yeah. And then so the thing they played face down does get revealed. Joey walks into it again, and it's the burrow worm thing. And then,
it's like the worm from Dune.
Yeah, it's like a Dune worm.
Mad gross.
Worm. Yeah. And then it eats Celtic Guardian, and Joey exclaims, oh no, my Celtic Guardian. I just like to point out, Celtic Guardian is Yugi's card.
Yeah. There's a few things, and there's also one part where Joey loses life points and it zooms in on Yugi's face, and I was like, was anyone paying attention when they made this show?
Nope.
Why am I the only one who's confused?
Oh, yeah, there's also another thing.
This was on TV. Like, hundreds of adults had to, like, green light this.
Yeah. There's also, a thing earlier in the episode, actually, where Para cuts like a promo. He's like, we have more life points than you. And then they show everyone's life points, and the brothers have like 100 more. Like,
right.
It's very close. Like, he was like bragging about barely winning.
They're trying to win the like morale game, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yugi and Joey are like, oh my god, what they do. And it's like one of the brothers has 1600 and like Yugi has like 1700 or something like that. Or
it's really easy to get in the heads of children, I think, is what's being shown there. So you can just say stuff and they get pissed off.
Oh no.
Maybe they'll make a mistake, especially the Brooklyn one.
He's a real hothead.
Just a quick check-in from our friend Seto Kaiba. So he has a gun, not a gun, on this guy, and he's taking him through Pegasus's basement. Mm-hmm. And Pegasus's guy from Blake 182 in the suit, he's like, by the way, like every structure we design here at Pegasus Corp, this is also a labyrinth, and you'll be stuck here for days because we only make labyrinths. And then Kaiba's like, good thing I'll kick your ass. And they have this whole back and forth, and I love this, where the guy was like, listen, I'm 32. I lift every day. I'm 270 pounds. I have training in multiple martial arts. And then Kaiba's like, you want to talk to my fist? You little bitch. And the guy is like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Kaiba. And it's like, oh my God, dude. You're on children's television right now. Don't do that.
He's not even tied up. Like, he could literally just run. He could just take off at any moment.
It's so embarrassing. He's apologizing.
I was like, I'll drop you where you stand again.
Yeah.
Like, okay, whatever you say, 16-year-old boy.
it reminded
me.
It reminded me of the, I don't even remember what this is from, the thing where the guy just keeps going, I'll suck your dick. Whenever any threat comes up.
So after, yeah, Seto kind of bullies that guy. This is the other best card in the game. The magic hats.
Magic hats. Fucking crazy.
The reference is MacGruber. I remember now. It's from MacGruber. MacGruber's always offering to suck your dick.
Yeah, the magic hats thing. And then it's like, get attack the right hat or whatever the fuck. And it's wild.
Yeah, so that, well, the thing is with magic hats is the worm could get any of them. Except right. for the Dark Magician, because it's such a powerful worm.
Yeah.
But with magic hats, you don't know where that Dark Magician is. And so they're all safe because, you know, it's not a safe move to attack the hats anymore because they shuffled around like hats.
Right.
As hats are wont to do. They're also laid out in a grid, which looks really stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. The hats being in the maze does look stupid.
Like, it does not look good.
Yeah. And then I think Para powers up the worm, so now it's stronger than Dark Magician.
He releases Beast Tamer.
Yeah, Beast Tamer, yeah.
The most problematic man.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, oh no!
Yeah, Beast Tamer. Para
plays lawn jockey, boosting the power of his worm. He's just, he looked. I couldn't pinpoint what was wrong with him, but something was like, this is a drawing from 1650.
It's not great.
But he's the master of beasts, and he does make the worm powerful enough that even this worm can defeat the mighty Dark Magician.
Mm-hmm. But he's not going to get that chance because Joey Wheel is on the case, and he plays Fire Sword. Well, here's my question. The Flame Swordsman is the only Flame Swordsman in his deck, and he has this one card that's a Fire Sword.
Right.
Like, is that the only combo?
Don't
that
strategize around Joey's deck. It's not going anywhere. Made the deck.
Can he give Fire Sword to, like, Time Wizard or something? Like, how? Or is it just for this Flame
Sword? It's Fire Sword. It powers up all the fire. And then, of course, the fire beats worm-based attacks, so it's doubly strong.
They literally say the worm is weak to fire. And I'm like, wait, since what? What?
Things are weak to fire when you think of it that way.
Yeah. In the same way that
we don't cut to Beast Tamer ever again, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. The worm is weak to fire the same way that I am, I guess.
All the cards are weak to fire. That's something they don't explore very much.
It's looking good for the heroes, but then
they put that one card in a box and stab it with a sword. So I'm like, I guess if you just walk over and light someone's card on fire, you're like, I win.
Right, you beat that card. So here's the order of events. They put the worm out. The worm picks off a dude. They hide in the hats.
Yeah.
They play Beast Tamer that powers up the worms. The worm picks off another dude going through the top of one of the hats in a very funny way visually.
It's like,
worm in a hat.
It's a worm in a hat.
And then only Dark Magician and Flame Swordsman are left. Joey powers up Flame Swordsman. Yugi stumped here, by the way. Big moment for Joey. Joey's big outthinking moment. Even the Pharaoh himself.
The King of Games.
With the clever move, what if I shot fire at a worm? And he shoots it down the hat, and then that roasts the worm, because worms are weak to fire.
Right, yes.
Right.
But luckily, the brothers, Paradox, Dox is drawn, the third of the Holy Trinity. Shout out to the Matrix. And what is
a
this
contemporary
fucking thing
film to it's when the, this show came out?
It's the wind, water, sky god. Lightning. Okay, wind, water, lightning. Three monsters in one Frankenstein monster thing.
It's called the Gate Guardian, and it's very handsome.
The Gate Guardian.
What do you call
that's the
a gay guardian?
It's gatekeeping. It's gatekeeping Pegasus's corporation.
Sewagen and Hemogen and Hemoglobin and Gate Guardian, And Yugi literally says it's on the level of Exodia, which is not true because if you
Exodia just Exodia, wins the game when it comes
the game, ends the game immediately. So
I was about to say, if it's on the same level as Exodia, then you shouldn't play Exodia because this has two less pieces and it's way easier to get. It seems.
Yeah, exactly. It's at the best. Well, you know what? Never mind. See, it's a 60% Exodia at best.
But it's a big Cyclops thing, and they're like, frankly, I have never beaten a Cyclops in all my years. Nonetheless, on a board game.
Mm-hmm. Card game, maybe, but not a board game.
On a board game?
On a board game. And then everyone reacts to the gate, to the gate guardian. Joey like cuts a babyface promo, and then
it's Seto, voguing Joey.
Wait, I'm not afraid of a gate guardian. Anyway, Seto is walking behind the guy he kidnapped, even though he's not really kidnapped. He's just walking, and then fucking it's the worst kidnapping in history. And then the guy's like, "Oh, this is as far as we go," or whatever the fuck. And then so here's the thing about the rock that he steps on, or the stone plate. It looks exactly the same as all the other stone plates. How did this guy know?
Yeah.
This guy's terrible at fighting, but he's got like the greatest like wisdom score in history. Like
this happens to him all the time. He can find this tile in the dark. Yeah. The trapdoor tile in the miles long dungeon beneath the child island.
It's because he's so bad at fighting. He had to figure this, like learn this ability to.
Yeah, any boy who makes fisticuffs at him, like takes him hostage once a week, and he has to find this tile with his foot, and he steps on it, and then I guess just other guys come. I mean, if they're all as strong as him, I think maybe Kaiba could just fist fight them all.
Yeah, he probably could.
He's a genius.
Yeah, this Pegasus goon would have been really good in that the glass game and Squid Game,
the second glass game. It's all about foot intelligence.
He knows which one. He knows where to step. what's the name of the head of security again? Pegasus guy?
Oh it's not Shambord.
Croquet. Like the game.
Oh my god, Croquet gets chewed out this episode.
I'm like, just leave him alone, man.
2 weeks in a row.
I don't think Croquet is going to be like working here Monday at this
No, but seriously, I'm going to shit on Pegasus here. Why do you have a head of security? You can see your eye, like you can see the whole world.
Yeah, well, that's a good, I guess it's just because it's fun to yell at someone, but here's the scene.
I think that's why he hired a head of security, just so someone to yell at, for not knowing as much as he knows.
And if that's Croquet's job, he's doing that job, because the scene is Croquet is like, sir, that an alarm's been tripped, and we think it's Seto Kaiba, and he goes, Croquet, tell me this. Why are you telling me again more things I know? And Croquet's just like, oh, fuck.
But also, it's literally his job.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I've had so many jobs where they get, like, they just decide, like, oh, I'm fucking up so bad. So they just, like, decided to lash out at me because I was the newest employee. So if I got fired, it didn't look sus.
You know? Right.
That's what it seems like.
Croquet is the Katie Rose Leon of Kaiba Corporation. I'm sorry, Wizards of the Coast or whatever Pegasus's thing is.
America's Sweetheart Croquet.
Poor Croquet. He says something else to Croquet, like... Like, how did you get this job again or something really insulting?
Yeah.
It's like, I had a very, you know, capable resume and I gave a good interview. You hired me.
There were three interviews, Mr. Kaiba. Three interviews.
I'm starting to think this is actually kind of like a sexual thing Pegasus has going on. Like, it's a weird...
Yeah.
He just needs to dom this dude for some reason.
Why are you telling me things I already know? Now go in the corner and pull down your pants.
That's how it is. But anyway, this is all to say that Pegasus knows because he has a magic eye in his head. And he knows everything. And how will Yugi get his grandfather back from him?
But then, and this is why the show is like bad, besides the other reasons. Pegasus goes, I already know that. But then he says, well, Kaiba showing up wasn't part of my plan. Bitch, and what?
He insisted the last episode that it was part of his plan.
Why did you kidnap Mocha? That's literally...
The plan changed.
You kidnapped Mokuba?
Yeah, wasn't that the point? Yeah, of kidnapping Mokuba?
What are you talking about?
The plan was they were going to shoot him with a gun, and then he got away in that pop punk scene, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess he just thought he would have gotten him out of the way by now, but Seto Kaiba is simply too elusive. Also, I'm sorry I keep calling Pegasus Kaiba. They're just very similar to me, but I love them both.
Yeah.
Don't make me choose.
Mokuba is sad still. Man, all these scenes with Mokuba are so just like
you can cut them out. I'm gonna say that. Yeah. They don't need to be there.
Seto, why haven't you saved me yet? Like three episodes later.
Well, I know you're in jail.
Why am I still in jail?
Although I bet when you're in jail, that is what you're thinking a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Why am I still in here?
Just the writer's room whiteboard. They have like, what do you think in jail? Underlined. And then one idea. I wish I wasn't in jail.
Mokuba being a very nuanced character, not liking being shackled to the wall of his cell. Our heroes are looking at the Trinity Gate Guardian and they're like, hey, fuck that guy. We're gonna win anyway. And the Gate Guardian attacks Flame Swordsman. And Joey's final lines up for this episode, he leaves us. We leave the audience with Flame Swordsman's about to flame out.
Yeah.
And that's like not the show best, being Joey. Like, tune in next week, children, if you want more of that.
Is this something you like? Flame Swordsman? What if something bad happened to Flame Swordsman? Would you come back for that? He's polling low. I thought maybe we could get rid of him.
To be continued.
And that's Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters episode 20. Trouble Duel Part 2 Fusion of Three Gods Gate Guardian. What an episode.
Episode.
I can't believe it.
Unbelievable.
Only in America.
Well,
we gotta ask, what would I give this out of three dragon or out of seven Dragon Balls?
I think out of three. Let's go out of three.
It's bad. Just for consistency's sake, we'll say seven. Starting with Lawson Leong. Surprise!
Man, you've blitzed me with this question, and I'm not sure I'm ready. Well, considering that seven is the most Dragon Balls I can give something, I think I'm going to give this one three. Because cards were played. And then things happened. Also, Yugi has some broken-ass fucking cards. His hat thing, and this fucking magic box thing.
So real fucking maddening.
Yeah. So, three Dragon Balls, I guess.
Yeah. Katie, how do you rate that Blackhead video you saw?
Well, the Blackhead video was great. I'm going to give that a full 7 out of 7. But this episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! I will also give it 3 out of 7 because... yeah, it was an episode of television, and it had a plot. And like I said, I liked thinking about battle tactics and how bad everyone in the show is at it, and how broken these cards are. But yeah, it's like, what is happening? I think something wacky is going to happen soon now that Kaiba's back in the picture trying to, like, you know, muscle his way into this pedophile castle. So I'm feeling optimistic for the future, but right now I gotta say, not very good.
Okay, that's fair. I really like Para and Docs. I think they bring a lot of chutzpah to the show. In addition, Kaiba is very strong for a teenager, and I think that's cool. And I like that thing where Yugi made a box where swords like went in a box, but it was like his enemy instead of him. That doesn't seem like you could play that as a card at any point. I don't see how that's a card. But for all of these reasons, I'm going to give it 5 out of 7 Dragon Balls because of crazy moves. Every time one of these finishes, I want to watch the next one, and I have to wait a whole week, and it's so hard for me.
Sick guy.
I am... the things I do for you, the listener at home, the struggles I face, like the Hercules of old and his challenges.
The Jamie Lannister of this podcast, yeah.
I am missing a hand because of how badly I love watching Yu-Gi-Oh! And it's all for you. Wow, that was a lot of fun. I'm holding my sides.
Oh, stitches. I'm in them.
I'm going to throw up because I had so much fun. I'm not defined by my GERD.
I'm not defined.
I had Popeye's coffee for lunch.
さえてくれる人たちに日頃の思いを込めてラプソディー。アプリシエーションな気持ちよ、堂々ケア。いつもありがとう、本当ありがとう。たとえどこに立って君の存在に感謝してるよ。黄昏の街が赤く染まる頃、何気なく道を歩いていた。行き交う人の群れがマスコボ、なんとなく立ち止まってみた。ぽつりと開いた心の隙間、埋めるように動いた携帯のマナー。 君は一人じゃない、ほら見な、互いに支え合ってくのさ。不安定な未来が怖くて悩んでいた僕にへ向かって、何も言わずにそっと手を差し伸べてくれる君がいた。悲しみが半分になった、喜びは2倍に膨らんだ。逆の立場になったらすぐさまそばまで駆けつけると誓った。 支えてくれる人たちに日頃の思いを込めてラプソディー。アプリシエーションな気持ちよ、堂々ケア。いつもありがとう、本当ありがとう。たとえどこに立って君の存在に感謝してるよ。 Far away, far away, 遠く離れていても流れる時の中で共に過ごした日々の記憶は決て消えることはないのさ。仲間や家族や恋人、そして出会った全ての人々、ありがとう。皆のおかげで私から力強く踏み出せ。人は誰も一人では生きていけやしない、互いが互いをいつもケアし合い、理解できない時は話し合い、腹抱えるぐらい笑い合いたい。なのになぜこう時に気なし合い、傷つけ合うのって気がしない。 バカバカしいほど君が好きだ。照れくさいけどちょっと本気だ。いつも支えてくれる人たちに日頃の思いを込めてラプソディー。アプリシエーションな気持ちよ、堂々ケア。いつもありがとう、本当ありがとう。たとえどこに立って君の存在に感謝してるよ。きっと見ない意外と咲いて面と向かって、なかなか口に出して言えなくて。だけど本当は言いたいくせに何かが邪魔して皆強がって。 時には忘れ出して伝えよう、言葉には不思議な力が宿るよ。簡単なことさ、自分からまず始めよう、きっとできるよ。 支えてくれる人たちに日頃の思いを込めてラプソディー。アプリシエーションな気持ちよ、堂々ケア。いつもありがとう、本当ありがとう。たとえどこに立って君の存在に感謝してるよ。いつも支えてくれる人たちに日頃の思いを込めてラプソディー。アプリシエーションな気持ちよ、堂々ケア。いつもありがとう、本当ありがとう。たとえどこに立って君の存在に感謝してるよ。